Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
The first Sunday of a new year.
First Sunday of a new year.
Yep.
The time is going fast. We're in 2018, and at the end of last week's show, for the four of you that were listening, you might have heard a very pressured announcement at the end. So we're going to do the announcement again. And the announcement is, as you're going to see, starting with this show, we're going to be on only for a half hour rather than an hour.
Why?
And some of you may say, oh,
no.
Good.
No. And so I thought it would never happen.
And two of you may be saying, oh, that's good. And the other two may be saying, oh, we're bummed out. But it's going to be basically a half hour show for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you'll keep on listening. And I hope that it's still going to be a blessing to you. And I hope we're still going to be able to teach from the word and proclaim the kingdom to whoever happens to tune in and tell your friends and neighbors to tune in.
Yeah.
We really want to increase our listener base.
Yeah. So a half an hour show from 7:30 to 8 o'clock.
P.M.
Sunday evening. So the start time is still the same.
Yes.
Sunday's at 7:30.
Right.
So
that should at least should prevent some confusion.
Okay. So yeah. Keep your radios dialed in at a 12:20 a.m. 12:20.
That's right.
7:30.
Yeah. And if you tune in late, you're going to miss half the message.
Yeah. You don't want to tune in.
Speak.
Yeah.
So here we are, the first Sunday of January,
mm-hmm.
which has traditionally been the Feast of the Epiphany.
That is true.
Yeah, and the 12 days of Christmas actually end yesterday. But since we're not on Saturday, we'll talk about it today.
Yeah.
And Epiphany, of course, comes from the Greek word that means manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Epiphany celebrates when the Magi showed up to see the little child or infant Jesus. We don't know exactly when they came or exactly how old he was. But they came, they brought gifts, and we traditionally say that there were three of them since there were three gifts, but the Eastern Orthodox Christians believe there might have even been 12 of them. Most people accept that there were probably three, although we don't really know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture doesn't tell us three of them came. It
right.
just says some of them came.
And we know that they were probably within the first 2 years that Jesus was born.
Yes.
Because of what Herod had all the infant males killed that were up to 2 years old.
Yes.
So
we don't know exactly. And we don't know exactly even where they came from. But the one thing why this is such an important manifestation is we don't know how many magi there were. We don't know exactly where they came from. But one thing we know for sure, they were not Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a manifestation of the Messiah to Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So here was Messiah with kind of this obscure birth, really unnoticed by the general population except the shepherds. And these three Gentile intellectual people showed up to see the Christ child, to show the baby Messiah.
Right.
The young, very, very, very young Messiah. And this is kind of a prefigurement of what's going to happen where the Gentiles come and the Jews don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I hope we'll get into in the next few minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the account in Matthew's gospel in chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, you know, the wise men came, or the Magi came, and they were following the star. They came to Herod and said, you know, we're here to, where's the newborn king of the Jews? And Herod's like, what's this newborn king of the Jews?
Yeah, I'm the king of the Jews.
I'm the king. What are you talking about, another king? And as we've talked about previously in prior years, Herod calls in, you know, the priest, the scribes and the Pharisees and his astrologers, and they determine where all this has taken place. And they send them on their way. They send the wise men on their way to go and search for this newborn king of the Jews, mm-hmm. the Messiah. But they themselves don't go.
Yeah, not a one of them.
Not a one of them. And there was no fanfare. There was no pomp or circumstance. They come there, and there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No celebrations, no festivities.
Yeah, and the Magi are kind of surprised.
Yeah, and yet they continue on their journey, and they find the Christ child.
Yeah, yeah. And Herod, who doesn't really have a clue what's going on, you know, Herod was a Roman puppet. You know, he was installed as a puppet king. Didn't really have any power other than what the Romans gave him. And we know from Genesis chapter 49 that when Messiah comes, the scepter has departed from Judah. So in other words, Judah's not governing anymore.
Right.
You got this sort of half-breed, you know, he might have been an Edomite or he may have been a half-Jew and an Edomite. Nobody really knows about this guy other than mm-hmm. he clearly didn't know much about what was going on.
Right.
But when he asks the religious leaders, where's the Messiah to be born? They don't say, we got to go look that up. They don't say, oh, let me just Google that real quick. And they don't say, huh, that's a good question. They immediately say Bethlehem because mm-hmm. they know Micah chapter 5 because mm-hmm. this is what these guys do.
Right.
Now, Bethlehem is about 7 miles from where they're standing.
Right.
And they don't say, huh, maybe we should go out there and see what's going on.
Right.
And as you point out, the Magi then go.
Right.
To Bethlehem, and not a single one of these people go with them.
Yeah.
Not one of the priests, not one of the leaders, not Herod's people. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's, interestingly, even back in Numbers, I love the book of Numbers, chapter 24, there's a pagan priest, we don't want to go into all the details, who in 24:17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And these religious leaders know these scriptures, but they have a pretty odd reaction to this. Like, why are these foreigners here looking for a newborn baby?
Yeah.
But there's something in the scriptures about a star and the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, and we seem to know that, but I don't know why these guys are here.
Right.
And so it was a they showed up in Jerusalem because they figured this is probably where the baby was going to be. They thought everybody was going to be praising and worshiping and being excited that the newborn king was here, being excited that Messiah was here. And interestingly too, they call him King of the Jews. They don't say like, oh, it's some really important guy, or oh, he's going to be a great philosopher. They call him the King of the Jews.
Yeah.
And they want to see him and honor him. And they also want to worship
right.
him, indicating that they feel in some way he's also going to be their king.
Yeah. 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 As you say, they show up in Jerusalem, not in Bethlehem, but they show up in Jerusalem asking, where's he at?
Yeah.
Where's who at? Where's the newborn king of the Jews?
Yeah.
And so Herod calls the leaders together. You know, and it says in Matthew here from 2, that in you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then Herod calls the Magi secretly and learns from them the time of the star's appearance. And he sends them on to Bethlehem and says, go and search diligently for the child. And when you find him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't, you know, we know that Herod wasn't planning to go and worship Jesus.
Yeah.
He was plotting the destruction of the Christ child.
Yeah.
But they went there and they prostrated themselves and did him homage.
Yeah.
You know, to yeah. prostrate yourself in front of somebody, that's a sign of surrender.
Yes. It's complete submission.
Yeah.
Yeah, complete submission. And interestingly, too, they say, where is he? They know he's been born. There's no question in their mind that he's been born.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking around, like, how come you people don't know this?
Right.
And, you know, sometimes the people that should lead us to Christ don't do it. These Jewish leaders, and especially the religious leaders, they should have been all tuned into these messianic prophecies, including the very place where he was going to be born.
Right.
But they didn't. They didn't lead anybody to Messiah. In fact, they, like Jesus says to him later, not only do you not go into the kingdom, but you prevent others from going in.
Right.
They're preventing them from going in, and they want to worship him, and they come from a far place. One thing is for sure is they come from a far place.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever ridden on a camel. It's a lot different than driving somewhere. And
you've ridden on a camel.
I read on a camel once, and I'll never do it again because it was so stinky. But, in a car, you know, they could have come from even 500 miles away and gotten there in a day.
Yeah.
But we don't know where exactly they came from. But one thing is for sure, they went through a long, uncomfortable journey to mm-hmm. find him.
Yeah.
And we need, you know, many of us go through that. You know, the people wandered in the wilderness going to the promised land. We're wandering in a wilderness. We got people wandering in a wilderness that have no clue of these things we're talking about. But they need to find him.
Yeah.
And we need to show him to people who come and say, hey, where's the newborn king of the Jews? We heard about him.
Yeah.
We need to explain to them. They ask where he is. And these people have no idea what they're even talking about.
You know, in a lot of ways, as we're reading this, their journey is the wise men's journey is similar to most people. They can come a long distance. They can be on a long journey to find the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they come to somebody who they think might have some answers. And we'll say, oh, I'm busy right now. I can't go on the journey with you.
Right.
I got something else I got to do. But you go ahead. You keep on searching. In the church, as a community of believers, we should walk with our brothers and sisters to help them find Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't.
We don't.
Yeah. You know, we throw some money in a collection basket, and it's really individualized. We don't think of the journey as a faith journey as a people of God. We think individually as a person of God. And, you know, we're on this journey together. Everybody has to come to the Lord and look at the cross themselves mm-hmm. and come to faith in Christ by themselves and for themselves. But we also share, we're a family of believers. We're all adopted sons and daughters. And many times we act like we don't even know the people. You know, we're supposed to be adopted sons and daughters. We're not acting like brothers and sisters. We're acting like, you know, mortal enemies at times in the church.
Yeah, I'm sure you've all experienced that.
Yeah, probably a rare occasion.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good example of, as you said, they're about 7 miles from Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
These wise men have been on this journey for who knows how long, year and a half. The people that are right there don't even say, you know, let us accompany you to Bethlehem and let's go see.
Mm.
No, they send them on their way and say, okay, well, let us know what you find.
Yeah, have a nice trip.
Yeah. And they're not deterred by that. The good thing is they're not deterred by that.
No.
They continue on. And that's important for us as disciples. We can't be deterred because somebody doesn't journey with us.
Yeah. That's an excellent point. And, you know, I was thinking back to, as you were saying that, I was thinking back to last week's show where we did kind of the wrap up at the end of the year about where we stand and where the culture stands and so forth. These leaders that the Magi encounter know all of the scripture. They spend all of their lives reading right. the Torah, reading the prophets, reading the wisdom literature, reading the historical literature. They know all the scrolls. I mean, this is all they do.
Yeah.
But yet, they don't connect this to say, maybe this is Messiah being born. And mm-hmm. we have people now who know the scriptures, who have studied, have been to seminaries and Bible colleges, who are dissuading people from following.
Yeah.
Are saying to people, oh, come on, we don't really believe that anymore, do we? Let's get with it. And it's kind of the same idea where instead of leading somebody to the Messiah, we're taking them away from the Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're kind of like Herod. You know, Herod doesn't want the scripture fulfilled. I mean, he's the king. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want another king coming up after him.
Right.
He doesn't have a clue about this Messiah thing, and he just doesn't, he just wants to keep his own power. Right. He doesn't want his reign ended. And so he's more interested in getting rid of whoever this is than getting scripture fulfilled.
Right.
But he goes through the pretense of getting the priests and the scribes and the teachers of the law together. Say, well, so by the way, you know, where's this Messiah supposed to be born? Oh, Bethlehem. You know, it's just, after all, it's the city of David. Messiah is the son of David. Oh, okay. And so he, they know the prophecy, but don't act. And these Gentiles from far away know the time that he's coming, have a sign that he's come, and they go. So Herod's got this false religion, you know, and he's kind of claiming to want to know about Messiah. The leaders who know about Messiah can't believe this could really be Messiah. Because after all, if Messiah was born, why wasn't there a big fanfare? Why didn't they know about it? And so they try to, it isn't a big deal for them to even investigate this because they're so sure that these guys have to be wrong. So these magi, however many of them there were, but let's say there were three, or else we'd have to change the song. Saying we 12 kings of Orient are would be a little bit bulky.
Then you might get confused with the Talbays at Christmas.
Oh, yeah. But see, they came from so far away, hundreds and maybe 1,000 miles away, but these Jewish leaders won't even go to the next town.
Right.
The covenant people, these are his own people, don't want to even go and investigate this. And like you say, you bring up an excellent point. We have to go even if nobody goes with us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the only one in your town who says, I'm going to worship the Messiah, you still have to do it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm kind of like the person who counts how many people are at each event, but I shouldn't do that because even if there's one person there, that's a person who's come to worship Messiah.
Yeah.
And true. Even if you're going to do it and you look around and you're the only one, you should still go joyfully to worship the Messiah.
Right. You know, in Isaiah chapter 60 in verse, your favorite major prophet, In verse 4, it says, raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you, your sons from afar, your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be poured out before you. The wealth of nations shall come to you. Caravans of camels shall cover you, dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all from Seba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and heralding the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered for you. The rams of Nebaioth shall serve your needs. Mm. They will be acceptable offerings on my altar, and I will glorify my glory. And I will glorify my glorious house.
Mm.
So even in Isaiah, you know, that dromedaries of Midian and Ephah will come bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Are these smelly camels?
No, I think they're air conditioning, and they're the plush. They're the plush.
They've been to the car wash.
they take them to the car wash. Yeah, the camel wash.
Yeah, and you know the magi. We don't have time to joke around here. We got a half hour show. So, you know, the Magi rejoice greatly, it says, when they see the star again.
Yeah.
You know, in Revelation 22:16, Jesus is called the bright and morning star. You know, when you see the bright and morning star, you want to go to it. You know, how many times, I mean, most of you can remember when you first came to know the Lord, you were so overwhelmed by this.
Oh, yeah.
That it was like following a bright, why didn't I see this bright shining star before?
Yeah, it's all you wanted to do.
Why was I such a dope? And then, interestingly, too, when they get to this place, it says they see the child and his mother. And we don't know when it was, but one thing for sure is they weren't in some palace or they weren't at some, you know, resort that was a Hilton resort with 5 stars. They were in some poor place. And these magi obviously were wealthy and well-educated, but they didn't care about this poor situation where this baby was. They worshipped him and gave him gifts. So they discerned the glory, even though the surroundings were a mess. They discerned the glory that was in this little baby, despite the fact that he wasn't at the temple, he wasn't in a palace, he was in kind of a very simple, messy situation. They knew who this was. Mm-hmm. And the gifts, of course, are also prophetic of what's going to happen. Because, you know, they have gold, which is a power and kingship, and they have mm-hmm. frankincense, which you burn for worship. Mm-hmm. So they're worshiping the king. And then they have myrrh, which was what they embalmed.
Yeah, burial spice.
Burial spice, yeah. Which they rub, you know, put on dead people.
Right.
And if you read through the Song of Songs, it's all about the mountain of myrrh that Jesus has to suffer through. And so even the gifts they bring are prophetic.
Yeah.
So this is quite an amazing thing. And the covenant people, the people who were the leaders, kind of missed the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a divine appointment.
Yes.
Yeah, the the leaders, they do. They miss the time of their visitation.
Mm.
They miss that these wise men or these visitors from the East are going to come and offer them their gifts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they, you know, they find the baby there. It says they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They were overjoyed at seeing the star and upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother. And so they do all this. Joseph and Mary had to just be pondering, what is this? What sort of a greeting is this?
Yeah.
This doesn't happen to everybody's child, but it happened to Jesus.
Yeah. And these guys show up.
Yeah.
With the gifts.
And then, you know, by the Holy Spirit, God intercedes and he warns them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Mm-hmm.
So they depart for their country by another way.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knew that Herod had evil intent on killing, you know, the Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have this mountaintop experience where they came in contact with the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to go back to their country.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Peter was at the Transfiguration, he said, oh, let's just build tents and let's just stay here. This is awesome. And Jesus says, no, we got to go back down.
Yeah.
These guys had to go back to their own country.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know, the scripture doesn't tell us anything what happened when they got back there.
Yeah, no.
And I'm sure we'll meet them in heaven, mm-hmm. since they're clearly believers. And we can ask them, so what did you guys do when you got back?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a manifestation to Gentiles who come from far off.
Yeah.
And that's really the whole, you know, Paul talks about the mystery, which was from all ages, which was hidden, that the Gentiles would be co-heirs with the Jews in the kingdom.
That those who did not know me would find me.
Yes. And this was the first indication of this, because why would these Gentiles come from hundreds of miles away to see the newborn Jewish Messiah?
And did they take the gospel message of the Christ child back to their native land?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, something that's really not talked about in this.
No, you know, we don't know anything about that.
We don't.
No. Yeah. But he's manifested to the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
and the Jewish leaders don't go.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, you know, the time of the visitation, they missed it. This is the first time they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to miss it all the way through. Until Jesus finally says, all this will be left to you desolate because you didn't realize the time of your visitation.
Yeah.
You didn't understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the people, Paul says in Romans 2, of all the people you guys should know.
Yeah.
The show's over already.
It's a half an hour shorter.
That's right. I still got more stuff. Anyway, uh-oh. I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that at the Feast of the Epiphany, the manifestation of the Christ child, that God's Son his presence would become known in your life, and that you would encounter the risen Lord, and that you would follow him unreservedly, just like the just like the three kings came and worshiped and prostrated. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.